Right. Hello and welcome to the Gallen Education Podcast. Based in Madison, Wisconsin, we are in the business of helping students find success. We offer college counseling, standardized test preparation, academic tutoring, and executive function coaching. Our podcast explores issues and ideas that students and families may want to know more about surrounding the college search and application process.
I'm Liz Jackson, Gallen's Director of College Counseling.
And I'm Paula Wheeler, a college counselor with Gallen.
And today we are very excited to be joined by Anne Shields, who is the owner of Lighthouse Career Consulting. And Anne and I connected a few weeks ago, and I was just so excited to hear what she had to say about how she advises people to approach thinking about their careers, sort of over the entire course of their life. Anne spent her career in higher education, working with students and alumni. She has experience running career centers at a variety of different universities, and we're just so happy to have her on our podcast. And so, Anne, can you tell us just a little bit about sort of your background and how you got into the field of career advising?
Sure, happy to. True confessions time. I was a lost and confused history major back at a time when all you needed was a degree and you could get a job. So, like most people, I thought, what can I do with a history degree? Well, I could teach, I could go to law school, I could go to grad school, I could work in a museum, and that's about all I could come up with. And I didn't like any of those choices. So, I was feeling really confused, and I was fortunate enough to meet a career coach who is still a friend of mine today and mentor, who sat me down and did some basic, who are you, Anne, questions. What's important to me? What do I want my work to mean in life? What kind of people do I want to be around at work? And by simply talking with her about me, she helped me see some things that I had never considered before, like working with college students on a campus. It had never occurred to me. So I started doing that, did that for a few years, and then I found career coaching. And it was perfect because it's part teaching, it's part advising, it's a large part cheerleading, and another slice of believing in somebody's ability, even when they've lost faith in themselves. And once I found this, I realized it was, sounds corny, but my calling. And several times I've tried to leave it, and each time I keep coming back saying, no, this is what I do. So that's how I got into it.
That's so awesome. And I also was a history major. So I remember senior year of college, people sort of being like, so what happens next for you? And not necessarily knowing, but no, that's awesome.
So, Anne, thank you for that background. That's really interesting, and I love that you were able to find something that is really a fit for you. So, of course, that's what a lot of high school and college students are struggling with thinking about. And high school students often they know, what are they like in school? What are their favorite subjects? Where do they excel? But a lot of them don't necessarily have any idea of what they want to do for a career and may not even know where to start. So what tips do you have to help them get started with exploring the career fits?
Well, different students will have different approaches to exploring and deciding. Some will have a tendency to be very practical. Where are the jobs now? Where are they likely to be? And I'm going to go there, even if it doesn't really thrill me because I want that stability. There's a little trouble there because the world of work is changing so quickly. And one of the hottest job titles right now is for people who know how to prompt AI well. That didn't even exist, but it's extremely high demanded because it takes critical thinking and good language skills. There are other students who just have no idea, but they know that they're passionate about history or literature. they may not be as concerned about the practical. They want to study what they love. Their families may have a slightly different point of view, but there's a place for those students as well. And then there's some who just, I have no idea. I sometimes recommend that people go to a bookstore and wander around the nonfiction sections and look at book titles. What seems interesting to them? Which of them do they want to take off a shelf? It may be in a field that they've never taken a class in, something like anthropology or sociology, or it might be in philosophy or technology. Who knows? Because when we're 17 and 18 years old, our understanding of the world is extremely limited, pretty much to just what we've bumped into in our lives. It's too big. My opinion is 17 and 18 is way, way too early in our culture to make a decision about what life is going to be for the rest of our lives. I like to help students think about who will you be rather than what will you do. If I had majored in sociology, I would be happy and I'd be in a different place, but I would still have had a life that I enjoyed. If I had majored in biology, I would have met different people, made different choices, and would have a life that I would enjoy. Picking the wrong major isn't the end of the world. My guidance is often pick something you're going to do well in and love it to death. Excel in whatever you choose. And there's always a caveat. And get out into the world and check things out. Experiment. Shadow people at work. Talk to people in different fields. Do lots of different summer jobs and internships to learn what the world of work might have for you. There's a thought sometimes that if I major in engineering, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll always be fine. Unless you majored in engineering because your fourth grade teacher said you'd be really good at engineering because you're good at math. I got it. I'm going to be an engineer in fourth grade. I know what the rest of my life is going to be. And I've met too many students who are in second or third year of engineering programs and say, I like math, but I really don't like this engineering thing, but I'm too far along and now I can't get out of it. Every student is going to be different and every student's story is going to be different. So generally, I come down to study what you know you're going to love and get out into the world and experience what it is that you might want to do for work. The number of people that are working in their major field, let's see, 46% of people who are working are doing work in what they majored in. Ooh. So
it's less than half.
It's less than half, and it's so much pressure. I know that your students are struggling because so many schools say you have to decide your major before you even begin this process. And I know that they do it, and they do it for administrative reasons. So they can find out how many sections of physics 101 they should have, how many sections they should have of the basics of engineering broadly. They ask for majors when you're 17 and 18 year old because they're trying to figure out how many classrooms they need and how many graduate assistants they need. I know that sounds cold and unreasonable, but that's a big part of it. I've sat in on admissions committees and I know that there's a certain number of slots that get filled and there's a certain number of classrooms and labs that are available during the 24-hour period. And some of it's just practicality. But yet, our students are just frightened to death they picked the wrong thing.
It's true. That's really helpful advice, especially, you know, that's a manageable step, I think, that someone who is 17 can take. And, you know, just to kind of explore like that book, the nonfiction section of the bookstore, that's a really good place to start. Just get curious kind of about what makes you curious. And I think you're right to touch on I have students, I'm sure Liz has students that will say, I want something practical. I want to know that I'm set up. I want to know I have a career path forward. And therefore, I'm going to choose business or engineering or something like that that's very specific. And so with the history, you know, the economics, the kind of political science, maybe parents can get a little bit nervous about that. So I guess from your experience, how have you seen this play out in that, you know, what makes someone who majors in a liberal arts discipline competitive in the job market? What kind of skills are they actually gaining that make them deserve?
It's interesting because the employers are looking for the skills in new grads that typically come from a liberal arts education. Now, certain employers will look for, we need accounting skills because they're hiring accountants. They may need certain engineering skills if they're going to go on in chemical engineering. They certainly will have had to have chemistry. But most of the employers recruiting on college campuses and beyond are asking for people who are creative and innovative, who can adapt and who are resilient, that have critical thinking skills and can solve complex problems, the ability to influence using words, the ability to communicate clearly using words, both written and spoken, team-oriented behavior, emotional intelligence. And these are the skills that liberal arts are known for. This is what a well-educated person can do when they come out of school. Now, well-educated and well-professionally trained may be two different things. I can go to MIT and come out a phenomenal engineer or computer scientist. But if I come out of Williams or Amherst or pick a school, pick a liberal arts school or liberal arts college, I can pick up work skills during my breaks and during my summer, but those soft skills of critical thinking and writing, creativity, resilience, those are things that are built up over a period of time. And they're honed in the liberal arts classes. So is it scary that your child might want to major in art or philosophy? Heck yeah. And that doesn't mean they're going to be underemployed. There are many underemployed business majors and engineering majors. The difference between underemployed and properly employed is probably their performance in whatever they study and some depth of experience in what they want to do, and the ability to explain to an employer why a liberal arts education will make them a better employee, because I can do all of these things for you. Liberal arts students tend to come a little bit slower out of the gate, but once they learn the technical skills or the tactical skills they needed in a particular field, their careers tend to take off because they have the skills that move them up into management and leadership roles. Sorry, it's a long answer. I get kind of passionate about this stuff.
Great answer.
It's a great answer. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because one of the things that really stuck with me when I remember when I was in college that someone said was that, you know, it's not usually your major that the sort of classes that you took that get you your first job. It's mm-hmm. typically the experiences that you've had outside of the classroom. Research with a professor, a summer internship, a, you know, connection to, you know, a classmate's parents' business or sort of those sort of things. And I wonder if you have advice for students about, you mentioned that for students, particularly those kind of pursuing the liberal arts, but I assume it's probably fair for everyone to try to gain exposure to different types of careers and roles. you know, outside of the classroom. Are there, do you have any sort of advice for how students go about doing that? Are there resources they should leverage or things they should think about as they try to gain that experience and exposure?
There are probably more opportunities on every campus than a student would ever want to spend time on, or probably could spend time on, because academic departments may be hosting speakers on topics specific to the discipline. The Career Center will have alumni panels talking about, they used to be called wicked whammies. What can I do with a major in? Wicked whammy panels. So I majored in English, what can I do? And the department or the Career Center would put together a panel of five or six alumni, all doing very, very different things. And probably none of them on the panel teaching English. And since history companies don't really exist to hire history majors, the history panels usually had a wide range also. There are on many Career Center websites, a resource that I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's a resource where a student can log in and pick a career name, a career field or job title, and click on it and see a video of somebody in the field talking about what it means to be in that field all day. So what does it mean to be a social media marketer? What does it mean to be a media planner? What does it really take to become a print journalist these days? Because there are still some, not as many as there used to be. People around our world, well, around the whole world, get jobs through people. 80 to 85% of people get their jobs through connections. Now, for some families or some students, that might be kind of scary because their families just aren't in the connected world that some of their classmates might be. But again, the Career Center and the institution will be able to help out. There are visits to campuses by alumni all the time. There are virtual programs all the time. There are alumni volunteers who say, please, please have students contact me because I was lost and confused and I want to save somebody from that angst. The question is whether the students take advantage of it and how early they take advantage of it. Oh, my child's only a first year student. They should just focus on their studies and not worry about anything else. Understandable and probably not great advice. There's been studies done that say students who work part-time and are involved in extracurriculars actually get better grades. Counterintuitive. But they end up being better time managers. Your students, when they're in high school, are phenomenal at keeping their time, organizing, doing well. They get to college and all they're doing is coursework. There's always time to get that math work done. But there's also time to just catch up on the things. And I really, Paula, love, you know, get curious. Get curious. If I'm a history major, I can still go to a presentation in biology because there may be a medical historian on their panel. Oh, I could be interested in medicine and history and find something combined. Yeah, most jobs are actually two or three different disciplines combined. There are very few pure work fields because you have to be able to do a wide range of things. Use the Career Center often.
This is good advice. I was thinking about, you know, when we tour different colleges, a lot of the schools will tout their career services and some will emphasize, we like to get the kids in right away when they first arrive. We want to meet with them as freshmen. I think just been hearing that more and more, even just like this year. And it sounds like, you know, just like what you're saying, like what do you talk to underclassmen about? So I am curious about, like, as a former career counselor, when you're working with the youngest college students, where do you start and what do you talk to them about?
Well, that's a great question. And the career centers who say we want to see first year students right away, families might ask, what do you have planned explicitly for first year students? what outreach do you do specifically to first-year students? Because many career centers want the first and second-year students in, but really don't program or invite them in a way that seems to make sense. Some schools have their first-year RAs take their floors to the career center for a tour and to get registered. I used to run contests for the RAs and what the percentage of first-year students they could get registered in the office, and then they would get there'd be a pizza party for the floors that had the most number of first years, because then I could write to them. Registering with the Career Center meant saying, I really don't know what I want to do, except maybe this, 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 or this. Okay. If I know those things, then I can start sending you as a first-year student, here are some ideas of internships you might be interested in, not to apply to, but to just be aware of. So the things that career centers can do is in some ways kind of get in the faces of first-year students, because graduation is a long time away. Summer internships are a really long time away. But it's not when you have to get sometimes up to 3 internships to be employable with the most competitive employers. So there's not time to just kind of hang around and wait to figure it out later. Major in what you love and start figuring out what that might mean for you as soon as you can start.
That's awesome advice. And I also imagine that that's where people like you can also come in to sort of provide that their career office may be giving sort of a framework and resources, but that's sort of helping a student see or consider what they should be thinking about and get to mm-hmm. know certain parts of themselves.
Another thing on a campus visit, and this may be challenging, sometimes the tour guides are like, oh yeah, and there's our career center over there. Do a lot of people use it? Oh, of course a lot of people use it, because that's on the tour. Go and visit it off the tour. Wander in, sit down, talk to a student who's there. How has this service been for you? If the school is touting it's, we have 15,000 alumni waiting to volunteer to help your student, that's fantastic. If there's a culture on campus that says, we as students love tapping into our alumni because they're really helpful. If it's just in the writing in the admissions office in the Career Center, but the students don't do it, 15,000 alums doesn't matter if nobody's reaching out to them. And I know this also, having been on this side of recruiting alumni to be volunteers, there are more alums who want to help than there ever are students who want to ask for help. And I would get very annoyed alumni calling me saying, how come nobody's ever written to me? I really want to be helpful. It's hard for an 18-year-old to ask for help. It's hard to admit that maybe you really don't want to be a lawyer, even though you've been talking about it since you were 8. But alumni are the best resource. I'm sorry, Paul.
I was going to say that's true. I think the more the school can create a culture of reach out, you know, they're here. It's a positive experience. It's true that the student, it is kind of on the student. So this is so wonderful to have you kind of telling our audience directly that this is not only okay, but encouraged to, you know, even if they happen to attend a college where that isn't necessarily the culture, or that culture is evolving, they should feel okay about going in. I've had students in college say to me, well, I don't know, the Career Center is for business majors that, you know, want interviews or summer internships. And that is just not the case at all. It's for them and everyone else.
But visually, the narrative is for business oriented, because there are a lot of suits going in and out of a career center at certain times of the year. And they are often economics or business majors or accounting or advertising or fill in the blank professional track. And it's important to know that only a slight fraction of the number of employers visit career centers, and they tend to be the ones that are very large, who have enough money and people to go and visit campuses, because that's high labor to take people out of the office to visit and then do a day or two of interviews and information sessions and see the faculty. And they are also organizations that tend to hire a large number of new grads to go into their training programs. And so they hire a large number, and then they get sorted out. I call it the fruit fly method of advancement. You hire a lot of them, and then they drop off. But even the most appealing for many students in the liberal arts and business is investment banking. I read this week a couple of articles that say, you know, that first year analyst job for top students is likely to go away because they can do the work quicker with AI. So that was the coveted role, go to Wall Street and be an analyst. Huge money, great prestige, no sleep, not much time with friends, but a great launching point, except it's not there anymore. So no matter the plan, I'd try to have a plan B. The other thing that I've found that it just is heartrending for me is those students who I've always wanted to be a doctor, I've always wanted to be a lawyer, and they don't look at anything else. Nothing else is on their radar. And they get to senior year and they say, it's time to take the LSAT, the law school entrance equivalent. And they say, I really don't want to do this, but everybody's expecting me to go to law school because I've talked about it. And my parents expect me to do it. So I guess I have to do it, even though I don't want to. That hurts me to hear. Or the student who says, I'm going to be a doctor. I am. And then they don't do well on the MCATs. Or they don't do well in the application process because there's nothing about them that truly excels, because they never were really, really, truly excited about it. So then what? They're left with just a vacuum because they've never given them a chance to give themselves a chance to think about, if not this, then what?
That's helpful, definitely. So I think, you know, hearing that early on for kids is, you know, just like you, back to the being curious and exploring options. I think even if you feel like your track is pretty solid, it's a good backup to be able to explore other things and learn a little bit more, because getting to that point is difficult, the one that you just described.
Well, law school has an ebb and flow of value and demand. I mean, there was a period of time when people coming out of great law schools couldn't find work. And so the law degree is going to be the thing that saves me. Not necessarily. You may come out with more debt than you can afford. More debt that needs to be taken care of, so you can't choose the discipline within law that you might really want to do, because you have to take a higher paying role. The world of work is big and it's confusing. And the whole idea of a career ladder is gone and has been gone for a long time. The phrase that's being used now is the career jungle gym. Because people are going to change jobs and make lots of lateral moves. They'll pivot out of careers and then pivot back in. When I was young, I was told you need to stay someplace at least 3 years to prove yourself before you look for another job. And then it was 2 years. And now there are new grads that are bumping around after 6, 9, or 12 months. Not necessarily a good thing, but the job market has really changed. And what used to be the rules that made lots of sense aren't rules anymore. Everyone needs to be computer literate, or digitally literate. They need to be able to do basic analysis But that doesn't mean studying computer science or leaning heavy into IT.
There are schools too that are making sure that all people that come in, no matter what their major, have either maybe they take an engineering class or maybe they have to take a computer science class. Just the way that for many years, the more STEM-oriented students have been well-rounded, you know, by having core requirements in the liberal arts. So I like that it's starting to go both ways.
When they do have core requirements in the liberal arts, and if they don't consider the core requirements in liberal arts just fluff. Why do I have to take these electives? They're stupid.
Well, Anne, this has just been so, so helpful to us. And I know our students and families are going to really appreciate all of your, you know, sage advice here. And I guess one last thing, which is not really, it's actually, you know, outside of work, what do you love to do? What's like your, what's sort of your favorite hobby that you have?
Well, I've rediscovered camping and paddling. So I've got a couple of trips lined up for the summer. Very excited about that. I like messing around in my yard, in my garden. I do not have elaborate perennial gardens, but I actually like getting in and weeding. It's almost meditative to just focus on a small piece of ground and get the weeds out. I also love to read. I wish I could do more of that. For people who are like, oh, I'm too busy, I can't read for fun, please find time to get back into it. Even if you're just listening to audio. Last year, I think I read 45 books and it wasn't enough. I could read more.
Good for you. That's awesome.
That's a lot. Yeah. I think the read and weed idea is good. As you weed, listen to a book. This is really great. Anne, how do people get in touch with you if they're interested to learn more about what you do?
Sure. They can write to me at Anne@LighthouseCareerCoach@gmail.com. I work with some college students. I often work with new grads who come out after 4 years and still are feeling, as I did, lost and confused. I also work with young adults who start off in a track and realize in 2 or 3 years they really made the wrong choice. And we talk about how to pivot early on rather than pivoting when they're 40 and they've been unhappy for 15 years.
That is awesome. And thank you so much for your time today. This was such a treat to get to talk to you. And thanks again for joining us.
Just one last thing. Please reassure your students and their parents that they are going to be fine. That being confused is human. Being disappointed is human. And it's how we learn. And their children, if they learn to trust themselves, they will be happy.
Mm-hmm. Very
They're
good.
They're going to be fine.
I love that. It's good.
We all need to hear that. And yes. I think we can't say it to the kids enough. So that's great advice. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you very much.
All right. Until next time.